Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcasts. And as always, you can head on over to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and check out the articles and podcasts. And please share those on social media. We have a big show tonight with congressional candidate Irene Jackson is going to be joining us once again to talk about her visit to the border and seeing Kamala Harris at the border in her own district. So we're going to hear from Irene on that. And in the second half, we're going to have Ruben Young on to talk about the big building collapse in southern Florida. So it'll be a packed show tonight with two big guests. I'm really excited. How about you, Rob?
I'm glad that we're having Irene to come back, because we now know that Kamala Harris finally decided to do her job and go to the border. There are some people who are saying that she should have gone a lot further and went to the detention camp where they're holding all those kids, but she made it. She was able to, I guess, sit down, look at her map and say, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be, as opposed to going to Guatemala, as opposed to going to Florida and all these other places. She made it to Texas. She made it to the border, albeit was a photo opportunity moment, as many of them like to do. And you know what? Congresswoman from Texas decided to meet her and to declare that El Paso is the new Ellis Island. Are you serious? Like, what? That's not the new Ellis Island. That's the border that we need to control. So I'm just going to just jump right into it. Irene, we're glad you're here. We're glad that you went there. We're glad that you confronted them. What did you think? I think her name was Veronica when she made the comment that it's the new Ellis Island.
Well, first of all, that cannot be further from the truth. Anybody that knows history knows that the Ellis Island was a place of vetting. And that is exactly why we have immigration law. And so to completely ignore the laws that we have established in this country is a total, it endangers American lives. I think she's delusional, but you know, most people on the left are very delusional. And you know, we didn't have millions of pounds of fentanyl coming in, people coming in and staying here. Even when they come in with a visitor pass and they overstay, that's something that's very normal here in El Paso. And I know for a fact there's people that come, their children get legal residence and they live in El Paso, even though they're not supposed to be here. So this, again, I'll say it again and again, this has been a problem that the politicians have been kicking the can down the street, and it has completely exploded in the last 3 years. Now, people in my social media are criticizing me for saying this is a problem we've had for years. And I love it when people from Washington State or any state on, you know, in the north and tell me that I'm a liar. I love it because that just shows how misinformed they completely are. And I just do want to make something very clear. El Paso is the border. Anybody in El Paso, anybody that lives in El Paso is at least 10 minutes away drive time at the max to a port of entry, a bridge. And so I want to call out the right in them saying that she's not on the border. This is the border. Anywhere that you step on in El Paso, Texas, there is a border. Now they put up the numbers comparing Del Rio to El Paso, Texas, and they make it sound like we don't have a crisis because we've only had over 85,000 people come in since January. What exactly constitutes a crisis? I would say anybody in any number of people that come in and invade our borders is a crisis. So let's not downplay. Do they have a lot more people in the valley? Of course they do, but let's not minimize the numbers that we have. Now, in that camp where she went, the Border Patrol, you know, they are heroes. They are the heroes of this story, not the politicians. And they have actually, they're really good at processing people. So let's say about a month and a half ago, they had about 1,000 kids, unaccompanied minors, in that camp. When Kamala was here, it was about 150. But this is not because of the Biden administration. This is because Border Patrol has become very efficient in processing. Now, just to put things into perspective, the ones that are processing are not guarding our borders. And we have the checkpoints all around El Paso that are not open. So any drugs that are coming in, any human trafficking, it's just free reign into the nation, thanks to Kamala, thanks to Veronica Escobar, thanks to Biden and every Democrat. We are endangering our children's lives. These drugs are coming to an elementary school near you.
And it's dangerous, like you said. And any part of the border that's being breached, it's a crisis, and we shouldn't take lightly. But when Veronica Escobar came out and said, exactly, oh, this is the Ellis Island, and I want to thank her for coming here, I saw the picture. I saw the video. To me, she seemed fake. As if, well, I don't know what Kamala's going to say, so let me try to help her out. Let me be creative by throwing this out there. And the right should have pushed back hard, and said, wait a minute. She doesn't know geography. She doesn't know history. What is she talking about? So when they put those words out there and they say it and it goes unchallenged, people will start to think, well, maybe that is it. Maybe that is the new Ellis Island. It is far from being the new Ellis Island, nowhere near it. So for her to say that and it goes unchallenged, of course, Kamala isn't going to say anything because she probably didn't know where she was. She just wanted to get there before President Trump got there. I mean, let's just be honest. She wanted to get there before Trump got there because she knew that, hey, how will they be able to spend it? And the media was probably in contact with her office saying, you have got to get her there no matter what. She probably doesn't know what she's doing. She probably doesn't like it, but we need to get her there for a photo op so that people will see that she came. And now we can spin it and just say, oh, well, Trump is attacking the woman because she was there. No way. Veronica, you were wrong, okay? I'm glad you have a challenge.
100%.
I'm glad you are going to challenge her, and we need for you to hit it a home run because we don't need people like that on the Hill.
No. They endanger American lives, whether you're on the border or beyond the border. Her, every time she opens her mouth, every time she tweets, we are meeting her head on. I did call out the media that day because, believe it or not, they actually interviewed me, and I told them, I said, well, I'm very happy to see you out here. We're asking for a fair shake. We're not asking you to interview us a lot more or sway things our way. Believe me, the truth will do it for you. And I have had such a great response all over the country. But again, I'll say it. I said it the last time. I'll say it again. There's two things that win races, and it's hard work and money. And I need America to back us up economically. They can go to my page, my name, IreneArmendarizJackson.com, and donate, become a monthly donor. Even if you can only donate $5, $10, $25, believe me, it'll add up and it all goes to the campaign. I really want to thank Kamala for coming to El Paso because it put us out there for, not even the right can ignore us anymore. So one of the things that I was very happy about, I think you all saw the signs that say que mala, which means how mean. And we got together the day before and we brainstormed our signs. And I want to send out a shout out to Hispanic Republicans of Texas because they sent the money to fund the signs. And these were professionally made. I want to thank the gentleman that actually printed them because we got them the graphics at 2 o'clock the day before, and they were ready by 6 o'clock. How does that happen? Only by the grace of God and people believing that we needed to stand against the left here in El Paso. I never thought that what would happen on Friday was going to happen. This gentleman just said, hey, I'm going to do this video and you end it. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know what I was going to say, but I want Americans to know that as a his, Hispanic woman, first generation born in the United States from Mexican parents. I love America. And to me, America matters. We are the beacon of light for not only the America, but also the world. If America falls, where will those persecuted people go? And we need to make sure that not only we fix our immigration, the overrun of the system, but that we fix our justice system. And we start with taking the House back in 2022. So for those of you that have sent me an email or contacted me through Twitter and said, what can I do? Donate.
What are people saying about Kamala now that she came, she took her picture with Veronica Escobar? What are they saying? Did she accomplish anything?
Oh, I don't think so. So she was at the station, Station One. And for those of you that don't know Border Patrol's history, Station One is actually the first station in the entire United States for Border Patrol. The people that the eyes, the ears, and everybody, I mean, we have people inside that will tell us, they said, you know, she was very nice when she came in. And as soon as when she was walking out, she slammed us. That woman has no regard for authority. She thinks she can say whatever she wants. And Border Patrol agents want to do their job. People ask me all the time, how do we fix it? Enforce the laws. When in the world did our forefathers think that the executive branch was going to have so much power to overrun our legislative branch? These are laws that were passed by Congress, the people that represent you and me. How dare the presidents, any presidents, use any power? And I'm talking about the executive power, and I don't care what side you're on. The executive power should never be, in my opinion, my very own opinion, executive orders are unconstitutional. How do you, it's like somebody coming into your house and saying, oh no, everybody can eat in the room right now. And it doesn't matter, you, the mortgage payer, is your rules don't matter. That's exactly what the executive branch is doing to Congress and to the American people with no regard for our safety.
Yeah, Irene, we all know that the media has been bought and paid for by the Democrats and unfortunately even some local media. How is the local media there covering Kamala's visit? Are they acting like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have been doing a good job and she's at the border to solve issues? Or are they being pretty honest about the disaster that the Biden administration has been?
They ignore the disaster. They just talk about how the amazing vice president and the amazing Congresswoman Veronica Escobar came, were together and all these pictures. And then they post two or three pictures of myself and the group that was there. But I can tell you two people that went out with a banner that, as a matter of fact, were in the opposition. And there were neighborhood people because the Border Patrol station right across the street, it's a neighborhood. There was a lady that came and she voted for Biden. And I was talking to her in Spanish and I said, so are you for the illegal immigration? And she said, absolutely not. And I said, well, then why did you vote for them? Are you for abortion? Absolutely not. Well, let me tell you what Kamala did when she was a DA in the San Francisco area. And her mouth just dropped. But see, this is where we need Americans to help us. The message is not getting out. So we need to bombard the local channels, especially the Spanish ones, with the truth about what the Republicans stand for. And the establishment is unfortunately corrupt on both sides. But for all you Republicans that are not corrupt and you want to help us, it's very easy to contact us. But that's a reality. When you have those conversations, and I've only had one woman send me a message on Instagram and telling me that I'm a xenophobic, that I'm a racist, I'm a homophobic, you know, the same language that they regurgitate. And I just told her, I said, give me an example. She couldn't. And then, of course, I just told her at the end, when you go and gas up, because the gas here is about $3.10. I don't know how much it is in the rest of the nation. And I just compared it this time last year, it was $1.78 per gallon. So why don't you send a thank you to Veronica Escobar and Biden when you have to fill your gas tank? Because that's the reality of liberal policies. It affects you even in the gas tank. And the conversation stopped.
And you're right. The messaging, we have got to get the messaging out there. People need to know what we stand for. They need to know what Republicans, what conservatives stand for. And it can't always be the regular generic persons that are giving that message. We've got to support candidates that look like them so that they will say, wow, these are my belief systems. And this person looks like me. I need to stop and I need to listen. They're not getting that message because the media is keeping it from them. The only thing the media will put out there is that the right, they're racist. They're racist. And they're white old men. And that is not the truth. It is a party that is an inclusive party. We all fit under the tent. And we all share those same ideas and those same beliefs. And like you said, it's right at the border. And there is no reason why that message should not resonate. We've got to get behind these candidates and we've got to say, wait, stop and listen. Kamala is not going to do it. Veronica is not going to do it. And we saw that when Veronica met Kamala at Station One. They're not going to do it. They're going to hide it. And then they'll, and as I was saying, Kamala is not going to do it. She and Veronica will not do it. They will get together, I guess, like the sisterhood of the pants, the traveling pants, and then they'll put out a story out there that they think people want to hear. And people will listen, and then they'll say, wow, they're looking out for my best interest. But they're not looking out for their best interest. People should not be coming across the border illegally. Children coming across the border. And the left seems to think that it's okay. And the stories that we hear about the kids and what's happening to the kids and the human trafficking. How can Kamala go to bed at night and sleep knowing that this is happening? She can do it easily. She does not care. That is a reason why she stayed away from the border. She is afraid of the border. She was afraid to go there. And then finally, she had some epiphany because the media kept telling her, you got to get there. You got to get there. Guatemala isn't good enough. And then she probably begrudgingly said, okay, I'm going to go. Do you think she's going to come back? Do you think we will see her again, Irene, at the border?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think it went very well for her. You know, I would have paid $1,000 to see her face as she drove up and got closer and closer to our crowd. And the night before, I remember thinking, why do I get myself into these messes? Just let them come and go, you know, but seeing the outpouring of support from the next day and the people that came to the rally, the protest, every sign meant something. Kamala, can you hear their cries? And this is about the children. How many little girls need to be raped for it to be a crisis? Kamala hates Mexicans. Kamala for human trafficking. Say no to Kamala Harris. They all have a purpose. Of course, we also threw in some funny ones. One of them that said, you know, you took a wrong turn. This is in Europe. But they all have a purpose. And what that purpose is remember that the border is still closed to my relatives in Mexico, in Ciudad Juarez, who are 15 minutes away from me. They can't cross the bridge even though they have a visa. They haven't been able to come to El Paso for over a year. So the businesses that are right by the bridges are decimated right now because most of their commerce comes from Mexican citizens. Even those very poverty-stricken Mexicans that save their money and come across because they don't have a car to drive to the malls and they purchase American products right on the streets that are on the border. And so what we're telling the Mexicans that have a visa is we don't care about you. But the media doesn't do that. Even the Republicans. Why isn't that message coming across? I'm being accused of being a racist. What's more racist against Mexicans than telling them we don't care that you went through the process and you paid for your legal documents? You're not welcome. That's racist. And that's why we had that sign that said Kamala hates Mexicans, because the Mexican people are the ones that are right at on the other side of the border. So I don't think she'll come back. I'm pretty sure she was a bit shocked. We even joked about it, where she would probably turn around to Veronica and say, hey, wait a minute. I thought you said there was a bunch of friendlies here in El Paso. But people in El Paso are getting tired. If you look at the elections results, the mail-in ballots are what put her over the top. And we know there's corruption because we have the testimony, especially in the nursing homes. So if anybody has a say with the Attorney General of Texas or the Secretary of State, we've been asking, we sent thousands of affidavits right after the election. We did our due diligence. We need them to come and do a forensic investigation in the elections here in El Paso. Just verify the signatures. And you know, if you're gonna win as a Democrat, so be it, but don't cheat, because you're cheating the people of El Paso.
I think that was very important what you said about the letting them hopscotch over other Mexicans who came here, and they're doing it the right way. And we see that across the board. We have people that have been here that are obeying the laws. They completed the necessary paperwork. They make certain that they didn't get into any trouble. They waited, got an attorney, took the test, and now they're becoming citizens. Why would we, or why should we, allow individuals that are coming illegally to hopscotch above everyone else and become citizens? Why should we grant them amnesty? This is only in a liberal democratic mind that they feel that, oh, well, you can come over here and we're just going to let you hopscotch. What about the other people?
Again, I have not. You're 100% right. I'm sorry to interrupt you. So I haven't found one legal resident, one legal immigrant in El Paso that has said that they are for illegal immigration. Not one. So there was a survey done here in El Paso, and 60% of the people in El Paso, and remember, we're 85% Hispanic, okay? So most of the people here in El Paso are either immigrants themselves or first generation like myself. 60% are for border security, and they see the dangers. Now, in our neighbor state, New Mexico, I went to do a live from right the gates right before they banned me, because Facebook banned me one day before Kamala came. Do you think that was strategic? I think so. I always thought I was a nobody in El Paso, but apparently how Facebook has been treating me lately, I guess I put my names on the map, and it'll continue to be. But I made a live, and the train tracks are right next to the border wall. Bandits would come and stop, make the train stop, and they would steal from the people, the engineers that were manning these trains, and abuse them. There was deaths, there was violence. So back when President Trump came to El Paso and he said that the violence stopped because of the wall, and then our mayor, who's supposed to be a the mayor that is supposed to be a Republican, real good friends of George Bush and family, said that El Paso has never been violent. I don't know what world, what planet him, the rhinos, and the liberals live in. I mean, like I tell them, you can tap your heels three times, it still doesn't make it true. And so the wall has stopped that element of violence right on the border. Now we have another factor. We had people like Dan Crenshaw just tweet when Kamala came that El Paso doesn't have a border crisis because we have a Trump wall. Well, let me tell you that in El Paso County, the border wall ends and the farmland that is right beyond that is being decimated by the illegal aliens. These farmers who have worked their lifetime, sometimes even generational, generation after generation have handed it down, take pride in what they do, in being a farmer, are throwing their hands up in the air and going, what do we do? Because there is a gap of almost 20 miles with no border wall. So what has happened, traffic has been funneled now to there. They are being threatened. They are being intimidated. The congressional group that came about a month and a half ago, we took them there. But nothing happens. We're talking about American farmers right on the border being completely decimated by the cartels. No one in their right mind would say that an open border concept is good. I challenged her to a debate. My people asked her for a debate back in 2020, and in Spanish, we went through Univision, and she said no. Why? What is she afraid of? The truth coming out? And because I'm very fluent in Spanish and she poses herself as this amazing fronteriza tejana that loves the people of El Paso, she can't even speak the language right. So, you know, I challenged her to basically a duel, a debate, but I'm pretty sure she's going to say no. And even if she says yes, I will welcome her both in English and in Spanish. Let's have the debate. And let's talk about the facts and let the chips fall where they may fall. And I can guarantee you we're on the right side of the issues.
Well, wait, if you do have that debate, I definitely want you to come on our show. Andrew and I will moderate. Okay. And okay. We can have that debate on our show. So Veronica Escobar, if you are listening, you have been challenged. Do you accept? We need an old fashioned debate. We will host it. We will be the moderators. Veronica, what do you say?
Well, let's touch base in about a week and see if we've heard anything, but we'll see. We'll see. And I will say that even two staffers from the Harris camp quit while she was down in El Paso. So we're seeing where even her own people are probably seeing the truth about what's happening in the liberal side. And what is worth investigating is why the chief of the Border Patrol is stepping down and being replaced by somebody that is now saying that we don't need the border wall.
Yeah, well said. And Irene, thank you so much for joining us once again tonight. If people want to support your campaign, where can they go to do that? And also, I noticed on your social media account, you have lots of videos of you guys down at the border when Kamala arrived. Tell people where they can go to check out those photos and videos of you at the border and where can they go to support you?
Well, my website is my name, IreneArmendarizJackson.com. And of course, hit the donate button. Please, please, we need America to understand that we need that financial support. And you can go to my Twitter, Irene for Congress should put you there. My handle is at Armendariz, DIS16, short for district, Armendariz, ArmenDariz. But I'm pretty sure now if you Google me, it should pop up. I think we've made enough noise. So you can go to that. I just installed my Rumble last night because I'm tired of Facebook blocking me. And when we get done here, I'm heading out to do some videos, some lives for the first time on Rumble. And I'm going to show you where these kids are being taken at the expense of your tax dollars. So if you're going to be on Rumble, it's Armendariz for El Paso. Armendariz for El Paso. And I hope to subscribe and let's start sharing these videos. And we'll show you other people that are also out there. There's only one other guy doing doing an amazing job in exposing the truth. And I will share that on my Rumble page. So please go on my Rumble, Adam Hernandez for El Paso, and go on my webpage and donate, donate, donate. And America, I want to leave you with this message. You are not alone. And the spirit of America begins at the border. That means when you come to America, everything, its heritage and its freedom, is available to you, but you gotta come legally. So God bless you all, and thank you so much.
Amen. And if you're in the situation where you can afford to donate anything to some of these America First candidates like Irene, they really appreciate it. And it really does go a long way to helping them get into Congress. You are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all of the great shows. We'll be back with more from Ruben Young, who will be on to talk about the building collapse in Southern Florida.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com. HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Well, there was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutLoud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
We are back here on After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, and we have our guest, Ruben Young, who's in the same congressional district as Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and he's going to be talking about the recent collapse in Southern Florida, one of the biggest disasters in America in such a long time. Absolute tragic situation down there in Southern Florida. But first off, how are you doing tonight, Ruben?
I'm doing just fine. I just want to thank you all, gracious hosts, for allowing me to come on and address this issue.
So, Ruben, tell us what exactly is happening in Miami-Dade. I know the last time I looked, I think there's 150 that are missing, and so far they found 9 people that are dead. What are you hearing on the ground?
Well, I'm hearing on the ground is a much bigger picture now. The way the structure collapsed and the shifting of the moving of the structure. I'm hearing that a lot of the political leaderships, such as the mayor of Surfside and a few others, now taking this very seriously, because I think we have the FBI. The FBI is now here looking that over, because they think that may be something, a much larger picture than what it appears to be on the surface, because of the way that structure felt. You know, I've been in a lot of the different support efforts, and especially those efforts of our Jewish population or in support of Israel. And for the FBI to be here, I mean, I think this, they may be looking at this in a much more serious of light, you know. But what I'm also looking here is the politics that now Debbie Wasserman Schultz is playing with this issue, because her name is now all over the TV screen. And, you know, and as a candidate, I chose not to politicize this. You know, I've done some things as far as trying to involve myself voluntarily with this effort. I've contacted the city of Surfside, tried to get in contact with the mayor's office, making myself available. I've reached out on my Facebook page. I've gone to meetings such as the John Birch Society, and I've asked for prayer or a moment of silence, because I don't want to go there and use this situation where you have people lost their lives. So it's growing to a much bigger picture. But you know, I also am aware. I did a little research on the Chambliss Towers that's located at 8855 Collins Avenue in Surfside, which is a part of the district that I hope to represent. And there was a study either on that building or other buildings, I think back in the 90s, 93, 99. Debbie came in office in 2004. So those kind of things was probably brought to a lot of people's attention, but went ignored. And from what I read, this is not a new situation. This is a situation that has grown over the years to the point to now we're at this, we're here, and we had warnings. We had warnings about the movement and the shifting of the structures there. And if you saw, like I saw on television, there's a lot more other complexes there that have not looked like they haven't been inspected or repaired in years. And I think that somebody had to give some answers as to why this took place with you. But we politicize everything instead of focusing on the business at hand. We make these things political issues. You know, when I used to be a representative with a union, one of the things I used to do, I did constant inspections. I would go around to those facilities or sites that I was responsible for, and I inspect the place. I wanted to make sure that the workers had a safe environment to work in. And I did my due diligence. And when I saw something, I reported it to the Occupational Safety Hazard Association. I think that's what it, OSHA. I think that's who we report to when we find problems that put workers in such hazardous conditions. But I don't know if this may be the case, but from what I read, the reports that came out about a lot of the complexes there on the beach was poorly inspected, and that has to fall to somebody's lap, and I believe that somebody has to answer to that, because that should not have happened. Those people should not have lost their lives on something that could have been prevented. You know, but we politicize everything. When you have good intention, you want to do good. Like, I want to just go over there, but I didn't want to just do it that way. I wanted to be invited as a concerned citizen, not as someone who's trying to gain office, like I see Debbie's not doing, because I haven't seen her in years, but she's now all over that, politicizing the deaths of those Americans who've died in that tragic incident, that collapse of that building, which we haven't seen in a long, long, long time.
So you just said something that I thought was interesting that we're not hearing a lot of, and I'm surprised, is that the FBI is now involved. And they're definitely looking at this a lot closer. Now, usually when in a situation like this takes place, especially with the political environment being the way it is, people would immediately want to run to, it's a terrorist act. Was it a terrorist act? Have not heard that at all. And if it is being said, it's being said locally and not nationally. But the building itself, were the residents a majority Jewish individuals? Do we know, or was it just like a combination of people living there?
Well, being someone who lived in South Florida for many, many years, I think I have over 30, 40, 50 plus years here. And I know that Surfside has always been a place where our Jewish residents have stayed. I don't know if that's been a mixture. I don't know of that, but I always knew that when you want to reach out to the Jewish community, it's in the area of Surfside. And that's predominantly where most of the Jewish people live or house themselves, is within Surfside, which is a very prosperous community. So I'm going to say, I mean, I'm not trying to sound off any bells or whistles, but that's pretty much where a lot of our Jewish residents stays in Surfside. And this is why you're now finding, Debbie having that type of access, which, you know, this is not a new thing that's going on. I'm quite sure she had the report where there was a concern about that building. I think that was, like I said, a report that was done back in 93, 99, she came in office in 2004. So, you know, a lot of people was aware. I don't know if they took that as seriously as I'm now taking it, or as we are now taking it, because we're now dealing with the collapse of the building, of the Chamberlain Towers, and now we're dealing with the death of a lot of our citizens, people especially here in the Miami-Dade County area. And a lot of people now grieving over someone they lost. I know what it feels like to lose a mother and a brother. I know what it feels like to lose somebody that you really, really care about. And under those certain terms, were you expecting something like this to happen now in a climate where there's a lot of hate being shown towards Israel, a lot of hate being shown towards the Jewish people, which I don't know if there's any connection. But from what I heard on the TV screen, which I'm getting the news reports from Channel 4 News and Channel 7 News. And from what I understood yesterday, the mayor was saying that the FBI, the mayor of Surfside was saying.
Right. So that is interesting.
Well, that's where we are right now with that report.
So, Ruben, so again, so that all of our listeners will hear and understand, we are not saying that this was a terrorist act. However, it does beg the question, if this area, and I just looked, you know, while he was talking, to some research as far as a Jewish community, and if this is a Jewish community, you have a large concentration of Jewish individuals living there, it would beg the question as to, was this a terrorist act? We don't know, because as you said also, Ruben, that there had been complaints about this building and the shifting, and I've heard quite a bit about that. Going back as far as 93, 99, they were saying, wait a minute, we need to look at this because this building is shifting. So we do need to look at that, but we can't negate the fact or fail to look at, could this have been a terrorist act, a domestic terrorist attack? Everything else would be looked at that way. If another building had fallen, the left would immediately say terrorist attack, especially if they saw a white man walking in front when the building fell down. But now we don't hear that. But you have Debbie on the scene. She's looking at it. Of course, she'll say, well, these are my constituents. But there's always more at play than what the media will tell us. And I'm sure the local authorities are holding a lot of things close to their chest. But it's just something to think about. Again, we are not saying that is what happened, because there are reports that the building itself had problems, structural problems. And that I think every year I heard that it was sinking or it was shifting. And as you said, Ruben, there are other buildings in that area. So who knows what the building codes were, who wasn't following the building codes, who weren't inspecting when they should have been inspecting. They said that they did inspect it, but they didn't inspect. But the loss of life here is traumatic. And it's devastating for those individuals who are still waiting to see what happened. I mean, this happened all at once, that this building is there. And then I heard a report that someone was walking by and they saw like dust coming up. And then the next thing you know, boom, it collapsed. What is going on here? Who knows what? And if this had been reported that the building need to have been looked at Why wasn't it looked at? Who wasn't enforcing the building codes? So Ruben, you haven't been on site, have you? You've just been looking and watching as we are doing, correct?
Yes, I haven't been on site, but I had been focused on not politicizing this event. I don't want to do that, especially when you're talking about the loss of life. I'm not doing what Debbie is doing.
Right.
What I did is reached out to the city manager by way of the mayor, asking the mayor for the opportunity to be involved in the recovery and being as a volunteer, not as a candidate, but as a volunteer. And I have not yet heard back from that, from the mayor of Surfside. But I'm making myself available. I went on my Facebook page, I think last night or night before, I made certain posting, expressing my condolences to the families who lost loved ones. And I also did a live video as well. Went to the John Birch Society Saturday and asked them to give a moment of silence. And so, you know, I could do as much as I can do without trying to turn this event around, because those will be my constituents. And I want them to understand that I know their pains. I know what it feels like to lose somebody. So I'm not gonna utilize this event to gain political advantage. And I am appalled that Debbie would use this event, and her name is all over the TV screen, because, you know, as a representative, you're supposed to have your ears on the ground. I mean, you're in a district, and you know that's an elderly community. And we know that when it comes to local inspections of building a facility, I don't know if there's a state law, but if there's not a state law, if there's not a federal law, then that needs to be made mandatory, permanent, mandatory permanent inspections of building each and every year where our seniors live, especially where our Jewish seniors live, in buildings like that, that's around a lot of water, where we also have sea level rising taking place in most of our out there at the beach area. So there should be no excuses. Like I said, when I was a union rep, I constantly inspected the facilities that I was in charge of. And I know this may be a mundane, way of going around doing that. I know she can't get around, or representative can't get around to a lot of these facilities, but they can have inspectors, or they can make it mandatory, or have the kind of relationship with the cities and the counties to ensure that these facilities, these condos out there where our elderly Jewish population are inspected on a mandatory basis, not wait for an incident like this 30, 40 years down the road when they was made aware of it back in 93 and 99. They was aware of this. The city was aware of this. The mayor may not have been in office at the time, but the city must now bear some responsibility, because the report was given to the city. And I'm quite sure it was given to the city. It was also given to the county. There's no excuse when you have, this is just, to me, should not have happened. And my heart goes out for the family members who lost loved ones.
Does the city have problems with building inspections, with architectures that are putting up buildings following the codes, to your knowledge?
Well, I mean, right now, not at this time, but, you know, we have had problems in the past. I mean, you look at what happened with Hurricane Andrew, and you look at the shoddy work that was done, especially down there in Homestead, Florida City, where you had builders cutting corners, violating standards, violating code requirements, and doing all what they can do wrongfully to that resulted in the loss of life, because the foundation of the structure that was put forth wasn't sturdy enough to deal with a Category 5 hurricane. Well, I mean, so now the question, now, was it a terrorist act? I don't know. Was it because of a building code violation or a cutting corners with those that laid down the foundations there in Sunny Isle at the Chamberlain Towers? I mean, who should bear the responsibility? Should we go back now in time and find the builder or the developer that constructed that facility, or constructed the Chamberlain Towers, and hold them responsible? I mean, who should now bear the responsibility of all those loss of life? Or was it, or was it just something that happened? Was it an act of God? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think it was an act of God, because I don't think God would do something to that degree where especially to our seniors. Especially to our elderly Jewish population. I don't see that. So once we eliminate who's responsible, then we focus on who's responsible. We need to focus now. And I said that in a tongue-twisting way. Once we eliminate who's responsible, we then now must move towards finding who's responsible for the loss of life there at the Chamberlain Tower. So we may have to go back in time and go back through the notes and the records.
Now, also, do you know whether or not the building consisted of nothing but elderly individuals, or was it a mixture of elderly and young?
Well, that's still up in arms. Like I said, I have not yet been directly involved. I can only express an opinion thus far, but I have reached out and have asked those types of questions because I like to know. I mean, like I say, Surfside, from all the years I've lived here, it's always been especially in the Chamberlain Tower, a lot of those condos out there house a lot of our elderly Jewish population of resident. So right now, everything is assumptions. These are my assertions. There may have been a mixture of residents, which that's what I want to find out, because those are the constituents that I hope to represent. So I want that information. I will be looking into receiving the information once I make that kind of, once the mayor or the city manager of Surfside get back with me and give me a fair opportunity to assist and to learn more about what happened, because I plan on being the congressional representative for that area. So I want the same opportunity and respect that they're allowing Debbie Wasserman Schultz to have, which she have not. She had plenty of opportunity to ensure that this district was safe all the way around. So I hope all those other facilities that has now come up in question, that they have opportunity also to try to prevent something from happening to those residents as well.
Did anyone see Debbie Wasserman Schultz in your area before this tragedy happened, or does she just only pop up when something like this happens and she can use it to get some good publicity for herself? Because I've seen her on TV and it seems like that's exactly what she's trying to do in the midst of this tragedy. One of the biggest tragedies in American history, where over 150 people are looking like they're going to be casualties. Is this rare for Debbie to be in the district?
This is quite rare. I mean, you don't see her anywhere around. You don't see her pretty much doing anything. You don't even see her speaking up and speaking out. Now she's speaking up and speaking out. I mean, she didn't even speak out and speak up in the 2016 elections, the 2020 election. You didn't see her anywhere. And I know why they did what they did in the 2020, because they wanted to keep silent and just slap back in them because they knew they had that dominion voting going on. So they caught us off guard. They caught us by surprise. But now she's using this as an opportunity for publicity. And I just think it's shameful for her to be going around now taking advantage taking advantage of the people who lost their lives and pretty much, you know, smearing it in the face of their loved ones, which is, to me, is shameful and it's harmful, and it doesn't serve us any good. I mean, this is a time where we must come together like we did in all the other crises when we was going through World War I and World War II. And when there was a crisis, the country came together. This should be used now as a way of bringing the country together. Forget about your party. Forget about I'm a Republican. Forget about she's a Democrat. And we all roll up our sleeves and get in there and find where those other remaining lost souls are. This is not a time to politicize something of this magnitude that's going to have a long-term impact on Miami-Dade County and a long-term impact on the world, because that had reminded me of the and I'm traumatized, but that has reminded me of the 9/11. The way that building came down. And if you have PTSD or some type of, you know, fear like that, it took me back to that point, because the way I saw the way that building just dropped down, and we're now finding out that even doing 911, that building came down because of detonation. And it just reminded me of that. And I just felt so bad we that took place here in Miami-Dade County, here in this country. That should not have happened, in my opinion.
So how are things going right now with the campaign for you and the area in Miami-Dade County?
Well, I mean, yeah, if we can talk openly, I would like to share with your listeners that everything is starting to move upward. We're now moving upward. I brought a campaign manager on, name is Yaelene Rodriguez, a very hardworking young lady that wanted to see me succeed. And it works better when you have people who have your interest at heart. We brought on a fundraiser. Fundraising is starting to take place quickly, like to see it, but at least it's starting to make some movement. And then we're brought in a general consultant. But the biggest thing that's taking place since the last time I've talked to you all, I'm close to getting on the ballot. Because of reapportionment, I wasn't required to get as many signatures on a candidate petition to get my name on the ballot. But we've gotten there. We've gotten close to the mark. I think I have like a 1,065 signatures from dedicated people, fair-minded people who believe that a person should have an opportunity. They've given me an opportunity to sign my petition. So they've gotten me closer to my goal. My goal is 2,500. But I only need 1,200. You always want to shoot above what your actual goals are. So I need 1,200. I'm shooting for 2,500 to make sure I have a cushion. So I feel great about the campaign. I feel great about being a grassrooter. No one put me in this race. I'm in this race because I care. I'm in this race running out of my own pocket. And every race I've ever ran, you know, just recently, because I'm getting closer to getting on the ballot, the Democrats are now telling other telling people out there that I'm a Democrat, especially because they want to cut in on the support, the Republican support that I'm gaining is being a committed patriot. A lot of people now following me and supporting me because I'm 150% in. I'm not 10% in. I'm not out here putting up billboards in. I'm out here shaking people's hands. I'm talking to people. I'm going to meetings. So where we are right now, I feel great that God is bringing this together for me. And I just thank God that if he give me this seat, I won't do like the rest of them. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but I'm going to be engaged. I'm going to go to the county commission meeting. I'm going to get to know the business owners. I'm going to protect our constitution. I'm going to protect election security. You know, I'm going to protect those parents that want to ensure that their children have a choice in their education. I'm going to stand for our constitution, and I'm going to protect our borders and protect our free speech, and I'm going to protect our Second Amendment rights. I just feel great right now. And I thank you for asking me that question. Just thank you very much for asking that question about my campaign.
Yeah, fantastic. And Ruben, if people want to help support your campaign and help turn this Congress red, where can they go to donate and read up more about you?
Okay, so my website is finally finished, and they can go to ryoungforcongress.com. All my information there. You know, if they like what they read, they like what they see, they like what they hear, in this to win it, I'm 100% committed, and I'm not here playing games. So, you know, that's what they're going to get out of me. When I get to that floor, I would not be selling them out. I'm not a sellout. You know, I'm called that now, especially in the African-American community. They feel like I've betrayed the African-American community, but I'm on the right side, and they may hate me now, but they'll love me later. We can get this thing rock and roll because we can take this district and turn this, especially Dade County, red. I think that, you know, we'll get somebody in office that know how to represent, and I would be that person to represent everybody, no matter what their party is. Everybody's entitled to representation.
Well said. Thank you so much to our guests tonight, Ruben Young and Irene Jackson, two great America First candidates. Ruben Young in Southern Florida, Debbie Wasserman Schultz district, could really use a lot of help if you would go to and support him. I'm sure he would really appreciate that. A little bit of money goes a long ways to turning these House seats red. And then Irene Jackson, also another phenomenal candidate. We appreciate her coming on and talking about Kamala Harris's recent trip to the border. Thank you all for joining us tonight on another jam-packed show of After Dark with Robin Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com, who just celebrated its 5th anniversary. So many great shows on there with content, exclusive content all day, every day. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio or Spotify. So we will see you guys next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.